The sun shall never set on so glorious a human achievement. Let freedom reign. God bless Africa.
I am an African. I owe my being to the hills and the valleys, the mountains and the glades, the rivers, the deserts, the trees, the flowers, the seas, and the ever-changing seasons that define the face of our native land.
There is a place for all South Africans, black and white. It is a partnership.
This is now the time where we should honor the memory of Nelson Mandela to build a new, better South Africa for all our people. Now is the time.
In this episode of the 30 Years of Democracy podcast, we are joined by Uhuru Moyilwa, a member of the African National Congress, a former member of the ANC Gauteng Provincial Executive Committee, former deputy speaker of the Gauteng Legislature, and a former Gauteng MEC of Human Settlements, Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs back in 2018. So recently, Moyilwa penned an opinion piece in Times Life about the ANC leading us towards a national dialogue. Before South Africans went to the polls in May, former President Thabo Mbeki called for a national dialogue to tackle what he calls a counter-revolution, which has been making the democratic government fail since 1994. Mr. Moyilwa, thank you so much for making time to speak to me today.
Thank you very much, Thabo, and thanks for hosting me. You know.
And just to start things off, interesting piece that you penned in Times Live. My first question would be around, what is a national dialogue in your view, and why is it important for us to hold one as a country in 30 years after democracy?
You know, South Africa is a product of many dialogues, right? It's a product of many dialogues. The dialogue, which is called the Treaty of Vereeniging in 1906, which basically took a decision that South Africa will become a republic. You know, this was a meeting point of the English and the Afrikaners after fighting over our land and displacing our kingdoms. Ironically, I am from the kingdom of the Bahurus, you know.
Of the Bahurus.
Moyilwa is a royal surname of a ruling clan of the Bahurus kingdom. By the way, our land stretches from Francistown to Middelburg. So we're sitting in the land erstwhile kingdom here, right? Almost up to Petersburg.
Yeah.
With our cousins, Kukuni and Mamburu.
Yeah.
And in the south is Kimoshoshe.
Yes.
It's my cousin, blood cousin. He's born from, you know, Mukachani.
Yes.
Who was, you know, Mokotedi. And Mokotedi is born from my family tree.
Mm.
And so is Kukuni and Mamburu of the Bapedi.
Just the lineage.
Comes from the, you know, the Bakhatla. The Bakhatla were a splinter from the Bahurutsi kingdom.
Mm.
So you can imagine the stretch of the land that we're talking about. It was a country. It's
almost three provinces. Almost five.
Almost three-quarters of South Africa belonged to the Bahurutsi kingdom originally. And then, of course, we've got the Bavenda people and the Tsongas in the far north. And then, you know, the Swatis.
Yes, then it's the Ngunis.
Towards Nesprey. And then around Volksrest, it was the kingdom of Kinsinza Ngakona, you know. And then the Khoisans and the Tembus in the far east.
All of the Ngunis.
And then, of course, in between these kingdoms were the original aborigines of our country, you know, the Khoisan people.
Yes.
So when you say the dialogue that should define South Africa. Mm. We should talk it within the context of dialogues that have defined South Africa pre-colonialism and South Africa post-colonialism, the 1906 Treaty of Vereeniging that excluded the indigenous people of this land, the Khoisan people, and people of Urbandu origin, you know, the Ngunis, the Sotos, the Tswanas, the Vendas, Shangans, Tsongas, and so on and so forth, that occupied South Africa in prehistory, I guess, in the early 1200s, in the in the case of the Bahuruchi, I mean, we told that we moved down south around century 600.
Yes.
You know, that's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago.
You know, before Christ. So this is not yesterday.
Yeah.
So there's been conversations amongst the people of South Africa as we settled here. Some unsettled others, you know, as it is the nature of human beings, making peace, and then finally the arrival of the colonialists and the Treaty of Vereeniging that excluded you and I as the indigenous Africans from decision making in our own land, which were hitherto, you know, established economies, established kingdoms, established governance systems. Of course, we had our own contradictions. You know, we fought and so on and so on as human beings, but there was a time and perhaps centuries of peace where there was coexistence and trying to accept each other and as human beings, as Africans. And of course, we were united by our cultures, by our languages. There were no contradictions amongst ourselves. And so that's why tribalism and ethnicity did not actually make an impact in terms of dividing the people of South Africa as we know it today. So the dialogue that you're speaking, that President Thabo Mbeki is speaking about, well, President Thabo Mbeki is actually calling for a national dialogue after registering his grievance against President Ramaphosa, who in the State of the Nation promised the nation that he will convene a national dialogue that can result in some kind of a social compact of South Africa as a nation so that we can begin to address the fundamentals. And what are these fundamentals, Thabo? Crisis facing this country is that the young people that were born 30 years ago on the advent of democracy cannot find their way on what this democracy is about. What are they benefiting out of this democracy? Democracy has taken millions of them to school. You know, the matric pass rate is now over 85%. It's more than a distinction every year.
Yeah.
But where are these young people going? Is there an economy to absorb these young people? The answer is no. So this crisis has been unfolding for 30 years, and we seems not to get around it. And that is the reason why it's necessary now
to
sit down and reflect. And that reflection is propelled by the now the current reality that the young people that are born 30 years ago in the advent of democracy, who do not benefit really from the material benefits of democracy, which is food on the table, you know. I must take my girlfriend out for a dinner, you know, Thabo. I must go to the movies with my girlfriend. And I shouldn't have a scare. I take her to a restaurant that I'll not be able to pay
that bill.
And I'm not saying this thing because girlfriends should not pay the bill.
Yes.
But the girlfriends and the boyfriends must be comfortable. You know, to live their lives. Our young people are not living this life. So democracy doesn't make a meaning to them. You know, I always make an example about a very sad story.
Yeah.
And I know that there are many people of goodwill who have made this their program. I wish I can join them actually in that campaign to organize sanitary pads for girl children at school, right? Yeah. But imagine you are a boyfriend, you are 17, 18, you are beginning to court, you know, and you're falling in love with a girl, right?
Yeah.
She's from a poor family, but you love her.
Yeah.
You are unemployed.
Unemployed, yeah.
But you are at a time in a human life where you've got to court a girl, right?
And support.
And she says to you, "Baby, this is the time in a month that I really need you to help me." And you are a young man. You don't have 150 rand to buy her sanitary towels. That's painful for a young man, isn't it?
It is.
And this is what basically negatively has impacted the attitude of young people who were born on the advent of democracy to 30 years after democracy. What is this democracy really giving to me? And this is the reason why these young people have stayed away from May 29, 2024 elections. I argue that that the national dialogue, the call for a national dialogue is to answer this question.
Why
what is in it for young people of this country? Exactly. What is their future? Because for now, all of us agree that, yes, we have struggled. Mm. We have tried to improve the quality of life. Mm. We have improved education.
After 30
we have
years.
Built clinic After schools. 30 years. We have done all of these things. Yeah. We have educated young people into an economy that is not creating jobs. Mm. What is the problem? So the nation has to come together in a format of a dialogue and really debate this issue. Mm. What is the way forward for South Africa?
And you, I just want to take it a bit back now. You mentioned the Vereniging Treaty, as you said, of 1906. Now I move into 1955, where now the progressive forces come together in Cliptown, and they adopt this thing called the Freedom Charter, right? Which has 10 clauses that really speak to how we as society should live. Do you think that charter in 2024 is relevant? Do you think we as young people should still look at it and say, wow, this is how we should live as, and I'm going to say us as black young kids, this is how we should live. Is it relevant in 2024?
Yeah.
Mr.
Uru? Have you read the Freedom Charter?
I've read it. I even have it with me right now.
Beautiful.
It is the beautifully written, the people beautiful. Shall govern, beautiful. Beautiful. All national groups shall have beautiful. Equal rights. But then I look at 2024,
yeah.
These things,
you know, if you can allow me, because it's quick, it's 10 clauses, I can read them very quickly.
Please.
For the young people to appreciate what the Freedom Charter is. Some may not have been as advantageous you to know what this document is. This document was drafted by our founders, the founders of South Africa's democracy.
Yes.
And in it, they said, South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white, and that no government can justly claim authority unless it is based on the will of the people. We now have the will of the people. The government of national unity in 2024 after elections is interpreted to mean the will of the people.
The
people have not elected any party to have absolute majority so as to establish government on its own. Mm. And now they've decided to form the government of national unity.
Yes.
I think that's the will of the people in a sense in practice. Mm. But the clauses say the people shall govern.
Mm.
The people shall govern. All national groups shall have equal rights. Is there equal rights between black people and white people?
No.
Between women and men?
No.
No. The people shall share in the country's wealth. Oh. Are black people sharing the wealth of this country?
For the mere fact that the land, majority of the land belongs to white people.
The majority of the land still belongs to white people.
Yeah.
Clearly, no.
Yeah.
The land shall be shared among those who work it.
Section 25. Still not.
Section 25 can't be resolved. We thought that Julius was campaigning
but
for
that
Section 25
today?
To be amended. Julius went right.
Yeah.
Parliament went left. The dispossessed are still dispossessed.
And
this is exactly the gripe that I have with Julius as a young leader.
Yeah.
That on this one, he has actually failed future generations.
But he's the one that, not to come to his defense, but he brought this conversation back into parliament, right?
Of course, to his credit.
And there are, and your members is the ANC. You did not bring that into parliament at the time.
I absolutely remember when the ANC came into government, for instance, it came with Land Restitution Act,
which was an
attempt to, you know, to address land inequality and so on. And then, you know, we adopted that of negotiation process from Convention for Democratic South Africa, CODESA. That said, willing buyer, willing seller.
Yes.
Where will a dispossessor willingly give
the
what he dispossessed to a dispossessed?
Mm.
You know, that was a compromise, though, and we're naive. Nelson Mandela's generation,
and you do say that in your article, we're naive.
We thought that the dispossessors will willingly say that no, but we've got to share South Africa equally together.
Mm-hmm.
They simply did not.
Yeah.
So that failed, and the ANC Youth League that Julius was a president of then elevated the issue of the land question to a point where Julius could not agree with the older generations,
and
ultimately found himself outside of the ANC. You know, and so on. But the land shall be shared among those who work it. Mm. Definitely, those who work the land don't share it.
So sure,
now, here is the crux of my differences with the generation before me.
Mm.
President Thabo Mbeki argues that when our elders, our founders said the land shall be shared equally among those who work it, they actually meant people who work in the farms.
And that's my
argument is, but Sandton City,
it's not a farm.
Rosebank, Melrose Arch,
Cape Town, CBDs
and all the opulence that we see, including Killarney, where President Thabo Mbeki is a resident, is actually a land dispossessed from my great-grandfather, the king of the Bahurutsi, Muyilwa. Right?
Yes.
Now, those that dispossessed my great-grandfather apportioned Kilani to themselves, right? And built a top suburb for white people, not blacks, called Kilani. But of course, my president, we get liberated thanks to the generation of Thabo Mbeki. They liberated this country. And of course, he's from the Eastern Cape. He's got no village around in the Transvaal. So when he settles and retires, he has to find a home. And he found a home in a land that was dispossessed from my great-grandfather, where the white people built the opulence of Kilani, where my former respected president of my republic, of Democratic South Africa, is now residing. Now, who built Kilani? It is the white people who were privileged to have access to land next to the golden mines.
And also resources as well.
Johannesburg is a city of gold. So Kilani was a suburb built from the land that was dispossessed from Muilwa's kingdom, from the black people generally, Africans in particular, right? And they built this top suburb. Now, if I want to build a Kilani, a new city, a new economy. Who do I have to beg for the land to come with my idea? Thabo, a 30-year-old liberated, free-born black South African, does not have access to the land so as to come together with his friends like the Jews and the white people did when they built Kilani, where President Thabo Mbeki is now resident. They don't have land even to just share the ideas on where can we build a new city and a new economy. For them to arrive at that point, they've got to go and ask some white boy who's an inheritor of a dispossessed land somewhere.
His grandfather,
and this guy's from his great-grandfather, and this guy's going to put a price that Thabo Tshabalala is not going to afford to buy this piece of land. So Thabo is going to end up staying in a squatter camp in the south of Johannesburg, away from the economy of Sandton, Melrose Arch, Rosebank, and Kilani. Now, this is the difference that I'm having with the generation that liberated you and I. And in this article, I'm arguing that but the Freedom Charter needs to find expression in a quality of life of black people in particular, Africans in general, and all the people of South Africa, black and white, together.
I hear you.
Clearly the Freedom Charter is a focal point of discussion and differences. And in my article, I argue that, by the way, the split of Professor Robert Sobukwe in 1959 from the ANC was fundamental because there were differences on the interpretation of the Freedom Charter, which was adopted in 1955 at the Congress of the People, with consultation with the people of South Africa. This was the most consultative conference.
Everyone
of the
was
people
involved.
Of South Africa. Everybody was
and
involved.
And I want to say the progressive forces were involved.
Were involved.
Not the whites. I think they were left out.
Because, no, they were not.
But we've forgotten about that in 2024 to say, Guti, I think you argue, Guti, we need a Congress of the People too. Will this involve everyone? Will everyone agree to be part of it? Will everyone, because there's this notion of, even in the GNU, I do feel like the progressive forces have been left out. And I talk of parties such as the EFF and the MK. They've been left out of the government of national unity. So what's the point of including them in this Congress of the People too?
Well, actually, the reality of the matter, and now you are not a born free, you are a white generation, are you, right? So you've interacted with, May 24 national elections. And you have seen the results. And that the EFF and MK of Mr. Zuma have made a mark. And have really made a mark. And all what they needed to do was to hit the call of the party that has galvanized more votes than everybody. There is a leader after these elections.
It is
the African National Congress.
No, that's true.
Now, when the ANC calls for, come on, guys. No, clearly we need to now review seriously. And the national dialogue comes as a consequence. Call for a national dialogue comes as a consequence. Guys, it's time now that we've got to really sit down and talk.
Because you do speak of the progressive forces.
Okay, on behalf of the people of South Africa, differing as we are, can we come together, right? Establish parliament, establish government, and then enter into a national dialogue on where have we lost the people, including ourselves, from each other. And I mean, it's quite a fact now that the EFF and MK wanted to impose conditions against the will of the people.
Was it against the will of the people? Because the way I think about it, they wanted to exclude the people who don't believe. I go back to this. They don't believe in this freedom charter. No, Am I wrong by saying
that? No, that understand their condition. Cyril Ramaphosa is not a... it's not that group that should be excluded.
That should be excluded. Right? I hear you, but
okay. So their condition, I understand that they are part of their rhetorics.
To say, good, we're not going to work.
Black people, the former oppressed must come together and exclude the white people.
Exclude the people oppressed.
Right. Now, the truth of the matter is that Thabo and Jenny Jansen from Sandton have to work together. Right. Mario from Bishop's Court in Cape Town, from the opulence of Cape Town, and Jenny from Sandton opulence is now a neighbor of Julius Malema, right? So Julius Malema and Jenny Jansen from Sandton are actually neighbors. They greet each other every morning. They eat breakfast from the same restaurant, right? So the future of this country is on a generation of Julius Malema and Thabo, right? And the outgoing generation, which naturally is going. My generation is going.
Yes.
Ramaphosa's generation is going. Yes. So anyone who argues that there's South Africa of Ramaphosa, it's not telling the truth.
There is no South Africa of Ramaphosa.
Nature is going to take Ramaphosa out of politics.
Yes,
ultimately, it's going to take Ramaphosa out of life as we know it. God forbids. But we are not there to live forever. So it's not true. So if you want the future of this country, you need to galvanize the black and white people of this country to sit around the table and map a clear way forward on how to solve the... It's class, it's gender.
Race.
Race.
Yeah.
Right?
Racism.
South Africa is still suffering from the crisis of the national question. Until we become honest now, post-Codesa, post 30 years of democracy, sit around the table and say, no, but we've tried everything. We've not solved the problem of South Africa. What is the problem?
So,
and the problem will go back to the Treaty of Vereeniging that excluded Africans from making decisions
from making
their own land.
Making their voice,
all right? Which led to the dispossession of land of the Africans that was formalized in 1913 with the proclamation of the 1913 Land Act, which basically makes black South Africans and blacks in general sojourners visitors in their own land, you know, strangers in their own land. And that was the focal point of injustice. And that injustice needs to find expression in the resolutions of this national dialogue that President Ramaphosa called for and Comrade Thabo Mbeki has actually, amplified.
In this Congress of the People, number two, that you mentioned in your article, who's then involved?
Everyone.
Because when I look at 1955, it was literally
the masses of the people.
Masses, and it was just people who represented black people.
Yeah.
The PAC, the ANC, other political parties as well. So in Congress of the People, too,
remember they came as a consequence of misunderstanding and interpretation of what the 10 clauses of the Freedom Charter actually meant.
Yeah.
For instance, Thabo, South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white, right? And no government can just claim authority unless it's based on the will of the people. But South Africa belongs to all who live in it. Does this mean South Africa belongs to illegal immigrants? No, it doesn't. South Africa belongs to all those who live in it. And the context was between the blacks who were excluded from living, from being regarded as people living in their own country, and the white people who have dispossessed blacks of their land. That was like a convergence of saying we can't chase them away. After all, they are human beings, but South Africa has to belong to all who live in it. Now, that can mean illegal immigrants have got the right to live here without our consent. Mm. It's a misinterpretation of the Freedom Charter. Mm. Equally, when you say the land shall be shared among those who work it, and you interpret that to mean, it does not mean the mine workers, and my article says the mine workers who toils in the belly of our land, of our extracting minerals that are taken outside of our country and not beneficiated to create jobs for our young people. Mm. It does not apply to the clause that says the land shall be shared among those who work it. Yet the Freedom Charter on another clause said the wealth shall be shared. Equally shared.
Mm. Mm.
Now, you on the other side, you say the land shall equally be shared by those who work it.
Among those who work it,
you work
the other
the
side
land,
say the wealth,
and then the wealth, and then you want to separate the two. Mm. You cannot share the country's wealth unless you share equally what the land provides.
Yeah.
So this is a clear misinterpretation of the context within which the Freedom Charter was actually drafted. Now, elderly leaders like President Thabo Mbeki is giving some kind of this interpretations that for me sounds weird, actually. Mm. And they are the cause of divisions that has created the Julius Malema.
Mm.
It has now created a Jacob Zuma.
The
and tomorrow is going to create somebody else. And a plethora of political parties that we've seen in the 2024 provincial and national elections. So the country clearly is in a crisis.
Mm.
And people say that, in a conventional, definition of terms, South Africa is a coalition. Some say it's a grand coalition. Conceptually, yes. It's not a government of national unity, but the leading party called for everybody to come in. Some people decided to exclude themselves.
Mm.
So you can't say it's not a government of national unity because you didn't want to come to the party.
Mm.
It is your problem. Mm. Probably at some point, hopefully when the national dialogue is convened, you will not become, this arrogant person that will define yourself outside the people of South Africa. Because the truth is, if you are a Democrat, the ANC has won 40%.
Yes.
The DA is on about 18%
or so. 20-something%.
So there are 60 plus.
Yeah.
And then there are other political parties, IFP and so on and so on. All of them constitute more than two-thirds of the people of South Africa.
Yeah.
So when you say you are the voice of the people of South Africa, which voice are you? Because the voices that have met in parliament are actually the voices of the people that we want to hear.
No, that's true.
Including yourself, who have decided not to be part of the GNU in this national dialogue.
Mm.
So that we can basically get down to work. And that work is to resolve this problem.
Mm.
Poverty, unemployment, inequality.
Mm.
What are the causes of these three evils that are inflicting pain
and racism
in the national consciousness of the people of South Africa?
There.
Racism becomes just an instrument. To benefit certain sections of the community. But fundamentally, what are the causes of poverty, of unemployment, and inequality?
Mm.
Clearly, racism will be an instrument that is used, to benefit certain sections at the disadvantage of others.
Mm.
The black and white people of this country has to sit down, map a clear way forward on what the future of Thabo's child. Should be and should look like. And this is what my article really was about.
And then do you think the problem here was the apartheid system? Do you think it literally just made things worse for us to actually come together and actually have this conversation? Because clearly this stems from the apartheid government and what they did to us. Now we can't even come together and speak in 2024 together because we come from this dark, dark, dark history. Do you think that system really played a crucial role to where we are? Now we can't come together and have this dialogue.
Devastating role. Apartheid system has played a devastating role on the national psyche of South Africans.
Mm.
And yet you hear, with respect, people like Mayor Helen Zille, telling us that we must forget about apartheid. It's a system of the past. We must talk about the future.
No.
The beneficiaries of apartheid system,
mm.
including those that now recently have benefited from class possession of some degree of wealth.
Yeah.
I begin to tell us that, you know, we must forget about apartheid. You know, it's gone. We must now talk about the future. Of course, we must talk about the future, yes. But that future has got a past.
Yes.
And that past is, you know, a devastating effect on the national psyche of our people.
That's why
a young white person in the northern suburbs of Gauteng has never seen or put his or her foot in Soweto. A young person from North Yeovil in Krugersdorp, the place where W. Lewis, by the way, resided, right? W. Lewis is this guy that connived with Jalles Wallus from Krugersdorp to assassinate Chris Hani. The pain that we have suffered, that was the racism at its core. Worst, at its core. Right.
Even post-democracy.
The young people of North Yeovil, the place that gave birth to or was a resident of Clive W. Lewis and Jalles Wallus, the criminals that killed our beloved Chris Hani,
who's now free,
have never put their feet in Kagiso or Mansfield. The nearest township next to North Yeovil is Mansfield. They don't know how black people live. This cannot be a definition of post-apartheid South Africa. What we are talking about now is apartheid, a very visible, conspicuous for every person, including people who are not gifted with an eyesight to see it, that apartheid still exists. It's only black people who stays in the shanty towns and the squatter camps. The white people are staying in opulence. So this is like we are living in two countries, as President Thabo Mbeki has said. One black and very poor, disadvantaged, and another one white and very advantaged and opulent.
And now the black people have also become, you know, opulent, as you say. Black people they have become self-enrichment. We have black people who are wealthy now in 2024, but majority of the people who are poor in 2024 are the black people.
No, certainly. You know, democracy has to benefit
everyone.
Those that were disadvantaged, right?
Yes.
So every day someone crosses the line of poverty, right? One black person every week or every month or every year, a number of black people crosses the poverty line and join the middle class. That's an achievement of democracy, right?
Yes.
Uhuru Muyiwa is a middle class because he crossed the line of poverty. So is Julius Malema. Even though they tend to, out of rhetorics, play that they are poor and so on and so on.
Yes.
I can't afford to stay in Sandton, but I'm a lower middle class. He is an upper middle class because he stays in South Africa's most opulent geographical region of wealth, per capita in South Africa, right? So I'm a lower middle class.
Yeah.
But there are people from the working class, the poor. There are children who become engineers, who become scientists,
they
who become medical doctors, who become, planners and so on. And they cross the poverty line every day, right? So you will have that section from their former oppressed and exploited and poor who are now riding the ladder of success. Their number and percentage is dismal.
It's low.
It cannot define the achievement of few black people into the middle strata and up to high level, class of acquisition of wealth cannot define the South Africa that we want. We want South Africa, the wealth of this country, to be shared equally among those who work it. And the people who work on this land are those that are mining, are those that are working in the agricultural sector, in commerce, are those that want to build new cities, new economies, are those that want to build new suburbs, right? Those are what people want to build rail lines. They want to build airports. They want to build, they want to build all kinds of infrastructure. They want to develop this economy so that they can accommodate everybody. That's the South Africa we want. Oh, and this is the conversation that this country must have.
What do you think has hindered the African National Congress from achieving this? I personally think even some of the divisions, as you mentioned in your article, you do mention there are differences within the party as well. But what has really hindered the ANC from achieving this, from achieving what this document actually serves?
Divisions. The straight answer is that the ANC is divided, primarily because the ANC cannot interpret the Freedom Charter correctly. right? Mm. And then, you know, in 1994, we came with the document, the Reconstruction Development Program,
RDP,
which was an instructive mandate of the ANC on how to reconstruct and develop South Africa, right? One of the decisions that we took in the Reconstruction Development Program was to, make add an effect to provisions of the Freedom Charter that said that there shall be houses, security, and comfort for all. And the Freedom Charter said that ghettos and shanty towns shall be replaced by modern suburbs with all the amenities and facilities. Mm. 30 years down the line into our democracy, with the Freedom Charter as our guideline and the Reconstruction Development Program as our mandate, Alexander Township, next to the opulence, not Engine. Next, in the middle Opposite. Of the opulence of Sant and Rosebank, Melrose
as well,
remains an eyesore of apartheid system and apartheid economy.
Mm.
This cannot be allowed to go on anyway. Do we differ about ANC peoples? All of us says Alexander has to be reconstructed.
Mm.
So still why waiting. Are we not reconstructing Alexander?
Yeah.
It's because we differ. One. Two, there are corrupt elements that want to make say. Money out of Alexander remaining as it is. You know, it's almost like a bank in transitized.
Yes.
You wait for the guy to collect cash, and then once you know that they've collected enough cash, you take out the firearms, then you attack the cash collection vehicle. It's cash in transitized.
Just making money.
The same way that criminals and some business forums, they call themselves, break down the water supply pipelines. The Transnet cables that basically should take workers with a cheaper mode of transport to and from work.
Mm.
They cut the cables, they steal the copper, they destroy our rail lines, commuter rail lines completely, including our economic rail lines, right? Sabotage. And what do they want? They are breaking this infrastructure so as their friends somewhere who has acquired power in politics, in government, should issue a new tender so that they can come and fix this. It's fixed. After 3 years, it's damaged again. It's vandalized again. Now, that's cash in transitized. Mm. So clearly, we are differing. As South Africans on a way forward on how best to actually get this country working. So, and one of getting the country to work, the example must be just as simple as reconstruct Alexander, man. Mm. It's not difficult. Yeah?
It's not.
Block by block, street by block, demolish the whole.
There's already a document that says what you must do.
The documents, the Freedom Charter says you must do that. Demolish the ghettos. The ghetto of Alexander, block by block, section by section, heaven by heaven, and developed into a modern suburb. What the hell is the problem?
So don't you
the
think...
problem is because you are not decisive. And the reason why we are not decisive is because we have now developed this economic interest against the will of the people. And this is the reason why the majority of the people of South Africa says, no, man, is this our ANC? No, let's wait first and see exactly. No, we are not going to vote. We are a bit lost here. And they are fighting amongst themselves, by the way. We don't even know exactly what's who is on. ANC amongst them anymore. Zuma says he's better ANC. Ramaphosa is an elected leader of the ANC democratically. So, and Malema was an ANC Youth League president. He split from, of course, he was fired.
You
can't blame Julius.
He was expelled there.
He formed this political party. Yeah. I can give him that credit.
But even now, recently.
But primarily, it is because he too lacked the necessary discipline to deal with the contradictions within the ANC as a, what they call it, the broad church. If you talk like me, you are not going to achieve what I'm saying by preaching. You've got to work within the structures of the ANC, influence the branches, the regions, the provinces, so that when ANC goes to national conference, it adopts the radical resolutions. And then you need activists that may make sure that the ANC people implement the resolutions of conference. The question is, ANC went to conference in 2017, it went again in 2022.
Still adopted
it has adopted
things,
the same resolutions.
Resolution.
Have we implemented this resolution? Since the question is, probably we've implemented 30% of those resolutions. Probably that's the reason why we've received 30% of support.
Yeah.
Because the 40% the ANC got in the elections is a reflection of what the ANC has achieved. Right? Mm. So it means the 60% of people that should be voting for the ANC that are simply disenchanted.
Mm.
They are disengaged. They are not voting for any political party. Because they voted for the ANC before. They gave the ANC 2/3 during Thabo Mbeki's 2004 elections. By the way, I was a coordinator of the ANC election campaign in 2004, and we won 2/3.
Yeah.
And this is the pride.
That was the...
Because our mandate then, our call under Thabo Mbeki was people's contract to create work and fight poverty.
We went into government. Which he did.
I mean, instead of fighting poverty, and fostering people's contract, 2004, it's now 2024. How many years is this?
Years,
20 years down the line, the president of the ANC says, no, let's go back to Thabo Mbeki's people's contract to create work and fight poverty. The people are disowning us. The people who are the beneficiaries of the Freedom Charter are walking away from the Freedom Charter. This is an irony. It's a crisis. Now, some people say, no, government of national unity, there's no crisis. There was a crisis in 1994 from apartheid to democratic South Africa. People were killing, we were from war.
Yes.
No, for the ANC as a leader of society, right, to achieve less than 50% in national elections, 30 years when the ANC is in the hem of leading a democratic project, it's a crisis.
It's a crisis.
Because the opposite of what the ANC has not achieved is a serious grievance from the people of South Africa. And that grievance can turn into something that we would not appreciate. You know, this country can break down into chaos, right? It's a crisis that requires, you know, leadership, as President Ramaphosa has now demonstrated, to convene a national dialogue to discuss these issues and see if we don't even have an option. We need a minimum program. That you must agree that this is the minimum program that should define what a post-apartheid South Africa should look like in terms of the economy and in terms of access to opportunities. And we must be resolute about attacking poverty, unemployment, and inequality. This is not a philosophical question. It's not science. It's not physics.
No, it's not. And it's possible.
There's no force of gravitation from poverty, inequality, and unemployment. It's a social construct.
Yes.
It can be dismantled, this thing.
It can.
In fact, future society, your child must scorn at unemployment as a practice of uncivilized people. You know, your child and your child's child must scorn at inequality, must say, we read in history that the society was once unequal between black and whites. Oh, gosh, these people were uncivilized. How could they have allowed such a system to do? We must scorn at inequality, racism, as we are scorning at the fascism after Hitler's Germany.
Do you think that the ANC should have its own dialogue about the party and where it is? I mean, it's been in existence now for almost 120 years. Do you think now it's time you guys now, as the ANC leaders, now have a serious conversation to say, where is our movement now? Before we go into a national dialogue, don't you think the ANC should have a dialogue with itself?
Thank you very much for that. And that's a great question you're asking me. This is what I have also elevated in my opinion piece.
Yes.
And I'm saying that anything that is called national dialogue and does not involve the people of South Africa is elitist and is bound to fail.
Bound to fail.
As right.
Said, yeah.
What we require here is the ANC, at least it still is a leader of society, albeit it does not have the necessary majority to govern the country alone. A good riddance for arrogance, for our arrogance, and our failure to read the mood, of the people as the ANC, because fundamentally the ANC was established to liberate the people from oppression, from economic exploitation, you know, from slavery. Now, we have departed from our mandate, and that's why the people are moving away from us. But they have not totally moved. They have just said, well, some of us still believe in the ANC. 40% of us we are giving the ANC to provide leadership. Yes, this is the time that the ANC must lead society. And now I expect that the ANC leadership should convene People's assemblies everywhere. The 12 million people that have not voted in the 2024 elections have to speak out and give the ANC a mandate to go to the national dialogue. This national dialogue will be attended by the right wing, center-left, center-right, ultra-left, you name it, and all the isms, right? But the progressive agenda in the interest of the people of South Africa has to emerge out of that national dialogue. And the ANC has to go in there itself having reached an understanding on the definition of the Freedom Charter within the context of the people who should be beneficiaries of the Freedom Charter, beginning to reject the ANC on the basis that the ANC is failing to implement the Freedom Charter effectively. And this is what my opinion piece basically is saying in there.
And I just wanted to also now go into the Constitution. You do mention it quite a lot in your opinion piece. What needs to change there? Because in 1996, it was adopted. And I'm sure it wasn't just a simple process, right? Because even our current president was there, you know, adopting it. But what needs to change about our Constitution? Because now it's also one of the best in the world, apparently, our Constitution. But what needs to change there?
I'm arguing that the Constitution, as we adopted it in 1996, was a product of a negotiated process and a compromise. For instance, Section 25 of the Constitution nearly broke down CODESA talks, right? The workers of this country went, millions of them went to the streets, you know, protesting against the property clause the way it was formulated. But there was a compromise then. A leader of the Communist Party, Joe Slovo, our respected thinker, then came with the sunset clause and said, either we go in or we are out forever. Clearly, the ANC is not going to win the war against apartheid colonialism through arms, right? There has to be, the balance of forces have changed. We're going to have to accommodate these guys in one way or the other. And a compromise was reached there. Section 25 of the Constitution has to change because I'm still dispossessed of my land.
As you said, Kilan.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm still dispossessed of my land. And being dispossessed, I'm not looking for the residents of Kilani to be moved out of Kilani. No. There is a lot of land remaining as a collective property of the people of South Africa that needs to be transferred to the collective ownership of the people as a whole. And who is responsible for the collective interests of the people as a whole is a democratically elected government. The government must hold that interest on behalf of the people so that it should not be difficult for Thabo or who's this 30-year-old who's born in 1994, that President Ramaphosa.
Tintswalo.
Tintswalo must not have problems if Tintswalo want to build a new suburb. Must go to government and say, this is the piece of land that is in your custody, or this is a communal land, that's fine. The king has agreed, we can put up a new economy and create jobs for the people. That laws need to change. But let me just talk about something quite trivial. You are the president of the Republic of South Africa, and you take an oath of loyalty to the nation, and we give you the mandate to preside of our country. You serve your term. Of course, you differ with your political party. And they take you out and so on and so on. That's fine. That's your political problems in your party. You have been our president. And then you go out from the loyalty, the oath of loyalty you have taken in terms of the Constitution of the Republic that you shall represent what South Africa that you presided over represents. Right? You go out of it. Well, you choose. You've got the right to belong to your political whatever. That's fine. But having been a president, you are not an ordinary person.
No,
it's a wrong narrative to say if you are a president of the Republic, you are an ordinary person. You've got power.
You're the number one statesman.
You are number one statesperson. You've got power.
You do.
You decide the direction of this country at the end of it all. Now, once you have served your term, we expect you to treat us with dignity. That we have given you. You don't use, we don't use the dignity that we've given you, because you know, we gave you that dignity. Mm. It's not yours, right? Mm. And then you form a political party.
But do we?
And then you want to go back and become a president again. But as a taxpayer, yes. I'm paying your salary. And I'm paying your salary for life as a president of the republic.
Yeah.
Because once a president forever. Now, in this constitution, you can basically be paid by taxpayers yes. as a president forever and go again and
be a president.
And be in the opposite of the people. And become an opposition to the cause of the people, in a sense.
So your own party.
That kind of thing has to be dealt with. The recent one is trivial. Mm. And I don't want to mention names
yes,
of people.
I get where you go. Yeah.
you are a judge.
Yeah.
You get impeached. You are a public protector. You get impeached. Right?
Yes.
This constitution has got gaps. It allows you, having been impeached, to go back to the structure that impeached you. In a different form now, as member of parliament or as a member of the very service commission that impeached
you. Are you going to go serve on there?
No. Clearly, this constitution needs to address these gaps. Reviewed. And there are several other areas in the constitution that definitely needs to be changed.
Going back to you now saying... the transition of power within the African National Congress is a problem. It's really a problem. I mean, it stems even from former President Thabo Mbeki, how he was ousted as well. It's the same way how his predecessor was ousted. And I can guarantee you too,
this one,
the current one will also be ousted in a way that he's not happy in these political differences. So it also now starts with, that's why I'm like, the ANC should go back and have a dialogue, because also the transition of power within the African National Congress is also a problem.
You know, what you are saying can be extended to say, what is the cause of division in the South African society?
Yes.
The cause of division in the South African society is the ANC.
Hmm.
The ANC in its conduct.
And how it
actually dividing the society instead of uniting it.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So the ANC has got a historical burden and responsibility.
Mm.
And this is my ANC. It has got a historical burden and responsibility to sort out its processes.
Mm.
This thing of removing presidents 6 months before,
they
leave office grievances. And so on, that practice has to stop.
Stop. Yes.
That's to stop. But it will also stop when the people who have been stored with the honor and dignity and responsibility to be presidents behaves like presidents.
Mm.
You don't behave like a lumpen, you know.
Mm.
You don't behave like a maverick
when you are
occupying a space as important as being the president of the country.
South Africa.
You must not create conditions where people have to say, no, we made a mistake with this guy. The whole 9.5 years, no. It's 5 months. We can't even wait for 5 months. He must go.
He must go.
You know, that culture has to stop.
Yeah.
And that culture will stop when the ANC begins to be honest to itself when it chooses who must lead the ANC. For God's sake, almost all presidents, except Thabo Mbeki and Mandela perhaps, almost and Kgalema Motlanthe, but we've got a fair share of presidents of the ANC that have got scandals hanging over their shoulders. Mm,
that's true.
Right?
That's
true. The ANC that my father was a member of and my king left the country to exile and joined the ANC's military wing and fought in Sepolilo in 1968.
Mm.
King Abraham Muilwa, Ramotsere Muilwa, my grandfather, fought in Mkhonto we Sizwe, right? In 1968, in the bushes of Rhodesia there. That ANC has to come back, because that's the ANC. That is the ANC that must represent your interest.
Yes.
This is the ANC that must be governed by the ethics that defined what Oliver Reginald Tambo stood for, that Walter Sisulu stood for. The ethics and morality of conduct of ANC leaders has to come to the fore. Once the ANC of today relent on the ethics and conduct of its leading cadres, we are going to end up having leaders of the ANC who have got scandals, we choose them into position of leadership because it seems like we've got no one else.
Do you also think the issue of credentials?
Or because of fashionable interest, I'm not too sure exactly what.
Sorry to interject you there, Mr. Moida. Do you think the issue of struggle credentials, as we call them, is also an issue in the African National Congress? Do you think just because I went to fight or I went to exile, you know, to join Mkhonto we Sizwe, now that I'm in, I deserve all of this? Do you think that's also another problem in the ANC?
To have been in the struggle, remember that people that were in the struggle for freedom are probably in their 60s now. And those are the youngest.
Not even they were
because these guys would have been 30 years when you were born,
when I was born, that's true.
So they are 30 years, they 60. Were freedom fighters and so on. Now they are in their 60s, right? Now they cannot expect you, being a beneficiary of people's education, of people's power, having acquired the necessary skills, now to be elected on the basis that you are in the struggle. No, you could not have been in the struggle. You are educated. You can read what Oliver Tambo stood for, right? And you can actually be an Oliver Tambo and represent the morals and ethics that Oliver Tambo and Walter Sisulu and Nelson Mandela represented. So you don't have to have been in a struggle
to get a certain position.
No, if you happen to come to parliament in my age group, and then you get to be elected to go to parliament, it's a plus for Thabo, who is 30 years as member of parliament, to benefit from my experience, but not to boast about it to Thabo. Thabo would not have been a freedom fighter. There was no need for Thabo, 30-year-old Thabo, to have carried an AK-47, do what with an AK-47. Yeah. And the kind of this quasi-military rhetorics that we see, people that were 9 years old in 1994, brandishing and shouting as if, you know, they are missing something. They are missing armed struggle. No, we are done with violence in this country. We've got more educated and skilled young black South Africans that must be given responsibility. Of course, that responsibility has to be guided and guarded by the elder ones without interfering with the young people to occupy their space. Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, one of them, they were in their late 30s. Sobukwe was probably, I don't know how old was he, 25 or something. The founder of the ANC Youth League, Anton Lembede, was 22. When, you know, Saul Plaatje, when he became the Secretary General of the ANC, was less than 35 years of age, right? So it's not true that we should close for the current generation to define its own mission. Because if we become gatekeepers for the current generation to define its own mission, we are actually preventing this young generation to define its own.
Then why is there no person even young at the age of 40 in the top 7 of the African National Congress? It's all people who are in the, let me say, late 50s. I'm going to bring in Umam Nomvula Mukonyane. It's probably in the late 50s. We don't even have one single 60s, young person.
Late 60s.
Late 60s. Oh, I didn't. She looks very young.
She's beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
Her makeup.
You've got a superstar supporter here.
I agree.
Yes, she's beautiful.
I thought she's in a, like, you know, she looks very young.
Care of herself.
But anyway, we divert back to the...
Why are there no young people there?
In the top seven, at least.
The challenge may be that, you know, the post-apartheid political environment created complacency within three or four generations. Like yourself.
Yes.
In fact, I'm quite shocked that a 30-year-old can speak this heavy politics with a veteran of the ANC who's 66 years of age.
Yeah.
You know? And this is impressive, really.
Yeah.
But the freedom created complacency and neglected the future. And the future was the child that was born in 1994. Not only to introduce this child to a much fairer and freer education, much more quality education as we have done, at least I know that people have got a gripe about percentage pass and so on and so on.
The 30%
for another day. But the black youth has made advances in education.
Mm.
But as they were advancing, we are not equally investing in political consciousness such that every young person must be able to preside the 10 clauses of the Freedom Charter without reading it and contextualize its meaning and act on each clause so that that defines the mission of a new generation going forward.
Yes.
We may, as the current generation, be failing to implement the Freedom Charter.
Even education.
The Constitution of the Republic of South Africa the way we should be, primarily because of complacency and this fear of the unknown. We don't want to move radically to pull out some radical steps that this entire nation, black and white, must take for this country to work.
The
issue of extracting minerals and not beneficiating them. The ANC spoke about beneficiating the raw minerals from 1994. If you go to the conference resolutions of the ANC, you said we'll beneficiate minerals. It is 2024.
We are turning them out. We are taking
the soil
everything out.
But you know what these people that are buying this soil are doing.
Mm.
They say to you, we want raw chrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you cost them on chrome.
Mm. Mm.
Actually, in a kilogram of the soil that you are giving to them, the raw soil that you are giving to them, there is a bit of manganese there, there is a bit of lithium there, there's a bit of tin there, there's a bit of gold there.
Mm.
There are so many minerals that they extract out of the soil that you are selling to them. These are the jobs that belongs to South Africans. And the ANC's responsibility is to implement the Freedom Charter and its resolutions. And I can tell you that if the ANC begins in earnest to implement the Freedom Charter proper without fear or favor, there will be no need for the EFF to exist. There will be no need
for MK to exist.
There will be no need for ATM and all. There will be no need. Even the PAC that was formed on the basis of opposing the Freedom Charter, they'll have no constituency too. I mean, the PAC is now one of the deputy ministers.
Yeah, but they have the deputy ministry of lands.
With the greatest respect. Well, like thanks to GNU.
Thanks to the GNU.
You know, but clearly, when the people cannot resonate with what you stand for, it means that you are irrelevant.
No, that's true.
The cause of the people. Now, it will be said if the ANC becomes irrelevant when it is the custodian of the Freedom Charter.
Do you think that will happen if the ANC doesn't get its act together? Which, the next elections are not far, 2029. If the ANC loses power completely, how would that make you feel? Because
I'll be very sad.
It seems like we're heading into that direction.
It will be very painful.
Mm.
But you know, we are revolutionaries, and our responsibility is to carry the masses of the people towards a better South Africa that we envisage.
Mm.
And that better South Africa is not a better South Africa for black people.
Mm.
It's a better South Africa for white people. It's a better South Africa for the people of South Africa, black and white.
Mm.
It's a non-racial, non-sexist, democratic, and prosperous South Africa. And we have a responsibility to carry that mandate. At least we still have the energy to drive that. Those that want to represent us in parliament must now know that they are representing us in parliament on the basis of what our elders said in 1955 we must do. So the ANC has to convene the people's assemblies, people's forums, across the length and breadth of the country and hear what the people of South Africa are saying and consolidate what the people of South Africa are saying, including whether the people of South Africa understand the Freedom Charter the way the elite of the ANC understand the Freedom Charter. And then come into a consensus that this is the minimum program that we now all understand what our elders sought to achieve.
Mm.
We are now going to a national dialogue to present the views of the people of South Africa. Of course, other political parties will also engage the people of South Africa. So that will be a melting pot of defining what the future South Africa should be for a young person who's 30 years and the one who's born today, and what kind of South Africa the one who's born today must live in 30 years from now. And it has to be a complete new, complete different South Africa than the one that we are now pursuing. This one is a lost cause. If we continue this way, we're not going to have a country in the future.
And just before we wrap up, Mr. Mohoro, how do we deal with policy differences? Because every political party has its own policies. And I think that's why there are some political parties who don't want to join the GNU because of the policy differences that they have with certain parties. How do we deal with that in the national dialogue?
They actually don't have any policy differences at all. Malema's EFF, I'll say Malema's EFF.
Yeah.
It's adopted the Freedom Charter. It's a guiding document.
It's a guiding document, yes.
Well, Zuma has got no party, actually. It is a gathering of
former ANC
like-minded, former ANC angry people. Angry they still people. Have to go to a conference. We are waiting for that conference so that we can know if they adopt the Freedom Charter as well.
But they will eventually because that's...
Because they are ANC.
Yes, they're ANC.
They're ANC.
It's like stepchildren.
They are rebels, but they're ANC.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
He's expelled now.
Yes.
But he remains.
He still sees himself.
In the deepest of his heart.
So he will adopt this.
He knows that the program is the Freedom Charter. He knows that very well. So at the end of it all, if you listen at 80%, 85% of what the DA say, it's not really necessarily out of bounds with what the Freedom Charter
say.
Because that's a minimum. It's not the Communist Party manifesto.
But then you get the Freedom Front
plus... The Freedom Charter is not the Communist manifesto. It's a people's document.
But then you get the Freedom Charter saying, Freedom Front plus saying, we need to scrap PEE. We need to scrap affirmative action. We need to scrap all those things. That's not in line with it's not in line with the Freedom Charter.
But don't you read racism, pure racism there. Those are people that have got
racist. They are in the government of national unity.
Those are people that have got racist hang-ups, right? And hopefully, in interacting with ANC cadres deployed in that GNU, they'll begin to understand
what this document is.
What this document is actually saying and what black economic empowerment
is.
Should be, and why is it necessary for their children to be liberated from future violence? Because they could be thinking that they are protecting their interests now. The white children are going to face the brunt of violence if this country erupts into chaos. And white people in this country need to be made conscious of that. This thing of calling on black people should not advance in the economy. What are you saying? You say that black people should remain slaves.
Should remain behind.
It's racism. It's pure racism. And it must be discarded. Now, this GNU, which has been established against our wishes, by the way. Our wishes was that the ANC should win elections. The ANC has not won election because it has lost support of the masses. It was the sensible thing to do, to say to the people of South Africa, come together. Now they're in a cabinet together. And we can only expect that the leaders of the ANC and that GNU have given a copy of the Freedom Charter to each participant in that GNU. All of them, Mushimai Mani and all of them. They must read the Freedom Charter. You know, interestingly, I visited a municipal office that was led by a DA mayor. And in Midval, when I was an MEC, right?
Yes.
And this mayor, Bongani Baloyi, had a Freedom Charter on a wall of his office. And I said to Bongani, but you are DA, and DA is a liberal. It's a liberal
movement.
It's a liberal party, it's bordering on right-wing conservatism,
very right-wing.
Right? In terms of economic policy, Why are you having a Freedom Charter on the wall? And he said that I've read the manifesto of the DA and I've read the Freedom Charter and I don't see fundamental differences on what is good for the people of South Africa. And I guess that's why a brilliant young man like Bongani Baloyi finally left the DA and established his own party. That's sad because the voice of Bongani Baloyi, with an understanding of what the Freedom Charter stands for, should have found resonance within Helen Zille. And the leadership of the Democratic Alliance. In absence of that, it then tells us that Helen Zille is not interested in a non-racial, non-sexy, democratic, and prosperous South Africa. Because prosperous South Africa cannot happen when black people do not have more access to economic benefits than white people, primarily because the white people are the minority and the black people are the majority. It's an objective reality.
Do you think
there has to be equalization? And that equalization has to find expression within equitable, you know, distribution of resources. Mm. Because without equitable distribution of resources, you are not going to find equalization, and racism will remain. And discrimination of black people to the benefit of white people will become a permanent feature of a South African society. That we cannot accept. Too many people have died
for this cause.
We still don't know the mortal remains of many freedom fighters died in the bushes of Africa. Some were killed by the apartheid police, buried in secret graves elsewhere in the country. We don't know where these people are buried. Their loved ones are still looking for their love. You know, for their sons, they are looking for their daughters. They can't find them. So we have to respect those that paid a maximum price for us to be where we are. But where we are is just the beginning of a journey. A non-racial, non-sexist, democratic and prosperous South Africa for all must be achieved. And that should not be delayed by another three decades. South Africa has to get into a waking mode of creating this non-racial, non-sexist, democratic and prosperous society.
Do you agree then with what the ANC here in Gauteng did by not even including the DA because of the differences that they had? You know, they took a risk to say we're not going to exclude them, even if the numbers are not on the ANC in Gauteng's side, because if they can bring a motion right now into the legislature, it could be very detrimental for the African National Congress. Do you think what they did was a good decision to say, actually, they can go?
You know, as a member of the African National Congress, I must be bound by the democratic centralism and the decision of my leaders.
Of your leaders, yeah.
But, you know, I'm a veteran.
And veterans are allowed to say
what they should say. Because in the absence of people like myself, talking to the conscience of people that are leading us, this country has got no future.
That's true.
And that's why the young cannot succeed without being guided by the elders. Now, what they have done in Gauteng is completely... in my view, not sustainable.
Okay.
It's completely not sustainable. Because it does seem like they formed some kind of a pact with people that are rejecting the GNU at national level. Clandestinely. Otherwise, how will they pass the budget?
It's going to be hard for them to pass
the budget. And the ANC performance in these elections is dismal. 38%.
38% in Gauteng.
No. Wait, at least if it was 49, I would be understanding.
Yeah.
49 plus something.
Plus something.
You know, you'll have a bargaining 1.5.
Even 45
basis,
at least.
1.5 basis point to bargain, right?
Mm.
It's a dismal performance of the ANC in Gauteng. So you don't choose a line of arrogance on the basis of adversity. I'm a student of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, and Vladimir Lenin, right? And Lenin on a topic on compromise, which was taking further what Friedrich Engels said against the radicals such as the ones that you are having in the context of today, saying that the Bolsheviks cannot go temporarily against a temporary setback and defeat, go to the Duma. The Duma was the parliament. It's unscientific. I don't know what is the basis upon which people are arguing their points. Because a compromise is a Marxist-Leninist concept. You must go and read Lenin on compromise. He will tell you that a situation such as this, where a revolutionary party has lost ground and support from the masses of the people, has a responsibility to galvanize the unity of the nation for the purpose of advancing the revolution. So what Mapaila and my leaders and Gauteng and all of them are saying, I find it to be too pedestrian and Marxist-Leninist, perspective of understanding the complexity of engineering society. Because this is engineering society. There is no formula of engineering society.
No, there is no.
There's no formula of engineering a prosperous society, right? A non-racial society, a non-sexist society. You need to apply science, and we must think. We must not be lazy to think. You know, in applying that science, because it's only when you apply science that you'll be able to find a better, you know, workable formula to take the nation forward. And there's always going to be, you know, pit holes on the road. But at least if we have agreed on a minimum program that can take the nation forward, we should do so. And that's Marxist. That's Leninist. So if you ask me, has Ellen Zille succumbed to a Marxist-Leninist scientific method of finding a solution in a complex problem, I'll say that Ellen Zille has accepted Marxism-Leninism as science because she has agreed to join the government of national unity in the interest of advancing South Africa as a nation, not the DA, not the ANC, but the people of South Africa as a nation. We can always find a common ground with our adversaries, because at the end of the day, what matters is what is good for the people. Not for us and our ideologies.
And before I end off, I come and ask you, do you think then the GNU will last until the next elections?
Well, you know.
Or will there be those pit holes? Will it go into 5 years? Do you see it going into 5 years?
You know, they have no choice. They have no choice because no one can govern this country without the other. No one. Right? We just said that in Gauteng, they will need to back, you know, some members of the DA to pass the budget. They'll have to back the EFF and MK to pass the budget. And we do not, as the ANC, we do not have any working relationship with the EFF and MK on the basis that they refuse to join the government of national unity. In fact, Julius says the GNU should be rejected. Now, I don't understand. Just yesterday, you were saying that. I don't understand how Gauteng is going to move forward with members of MK and EFF who should actually give the ANC a majority against the DA, which has got a fairer, bigger number as an opposition to pass the budget and drive the transformation.
And that's going to stop.
And that's why I am arguing that it's unscientific. It's unscientific. If these guys have read Karl Marx and Lenin, they have not read the Karl Marx and Lenin and Friedrich Engels that I've studied when I was 18 years old. It can't be. It's unscientific. That approach is not scientific. The people of this country, quotes, are disillusioned, but not completely disillusioned, and they've given the ANC a mandate to convene, right? Now, instead of convening, you take a route of excluding. They should exclude themselves like the EFF and MK has done. You don't have to exclude them or put conditions that
let it be
are completely voluntary, diametrically opposed to objective reality, but the same arrogance that Ellen Zille also was displaying. was displaying in demanding that the ANC should have 3 seats or something of that sort. Yes, and when the ANC did the same to her, then she said the ANC wanted six. She walked out of the GNU. This whole thing needs political maturity, and the political maturity is exactly what I'm saying. Leaders emerge in a period when the nation is facing a crisis. That's when leaders emerge, right? Nelson Mandela is celebrated all over the world because he emerged at a period when South Africa needed a leader. Peace. And Nelson Mandela emerged above the shoulders of everybody and brought the adversaries together. This is exactly what Ramaphosa is doing. He's a student of Nelson Mandela. He had no choice. He has lost elections. He's a leader, of the biggest party in parliament, but he has lost elections. So he needed to retrace the footsteps and say, how would Nelson Mandela have acted if he was in my situation? And I think as a student of Nelson Mandela, he opted for the best solution for the people of South Africa. And I think we should give credit to the president of the ANC in this regard for having taken that lead, you know.
And then my final question, where do you envision us in 30 years from now? A South Africa that you envision in 30 years from now?
I have hope. For as long as we have people like Thabo Tshabalala,
right? Yes,
behind the mic,
yes,
whose job is to communicate a new mission of young people without adopting an anarchic kind of an approach, but scholarly, approach to complex questions, and proposing that society should engage, using the media as you are, to invite society to engage. This national dialogue thing, the society should engage. The young people should engage. The young people should say nothing about us without us, nothing about our future without us. So Cyril Ramaphosa has got the responsibility to convene the progressive forces in this country to debate what are we taking to the national dialogue. He must not go there alone. If he go there, he'll find himself alone there with his cabinet. We will not be there, right? Because he's a revolutionary. He comes from the progressive political school of thought. He understands very well that for the national dialogue to have a meaning to our people, the people must be engaged. So I have confidence in the young people of this country. And I listen at some of them in parliament debating across the political parties. Because at my age, you know, I don't have to diva with a political party for it because I don't like it.
Because you don't
I
like
I must
them.
Listen at content and context within which, a leader is presenting his story. And I can tell you that listening at many young people in parliament across the political spectrum, in the EFF, in the ANC, in the DA, here are they now, they are ministering education. There's nothing different that they are doing that the ANC wanted to do. They may do it with a new energy.
New energy.
And then perhaps a better way, but it's the same policy. And listen at all of them now since they came into government. The reality has now crept in. Right?
That's true.
That this is not...
it's no more debate now. You actually now have to do the
you
work.
You have to do it, right? But listening at the young minister of education,
Osivio Kwakhube.
Yes, listening at leaders such as those and others.
But there are some leaders there who can't... I'm not going to... I don't want to mention names, but there are some leaders there.
I have hope.
Yeah, I know.
I have hope for this country that the young people of this country will take responsibility to put South Africa where it should be. And it is South Africa at the highest level of development trajectory. The president has laid down a very formidable practical program. Turn the country into a construction site. My vibe. When I left office in 2019, I agreed with the president as his MEC that we are going to turn Alexander into a construction site. I left Gauteng with presidential interministerial committee, with presidential interministerial technical committee constituted by heads of department and DGs and so on and so forth. All of them were formulating what we agreed with the president in Alexander in 2018, May, that Alexander is going to be turned into a construction site. 2019 is 2024. Of course, there was 2 years of corona, a setback.
Which was a setback.
That may have displaced the president to concentrate on things that he committed himself to. Well, after corona, the president governed this country for 3 years, by the way. Two years, there was nothing in this country that was going on. The economy was closed. The president was holding the candle just to light up truly speaking. And I think we must accept as well that this was the most unfortunate president.
It was
of the ANC in history,
really. He had a challenge.
He had challenges. Yeah, he had to deal with setbacks, the state capture, divisions within the parties.
There's also the looting that happened.
Factionalism, looting, and all of this kind of negatives that has characterized his first term as president of the republic, And we can only hope that this his presence in leading the GNU will bring back the commitments he made. In one speech, he said that we too want to see our country have high skyscrapers like we see it in Shanghai, in China,
everywhere
else.
The
20-story building has been constructed
nothing.
In the last 5 years, right? So this is my gripe. And I've got to tell the president that, no, but you have not implemented what you agreed upon in Alexander when I was your MEC. I left you with a team that you and I established. And my successor And you, because you remained, you're supposed to have carried that plan forward. Mm. Alexander's supposed to be a construction site. It is not.
No, it's not.
Right? And this is my gripe. And this is why I'm saying that it is the responsibility and hope in young people like yourselves that you will take forward this mantle of ensuring that leaders are accountable for their pronouncement, for their policy pronouncement. Mm. There is more need for the people of South Africa to hold leaders accountable.
Mm.
And the reconstruction of Alexander, harping on it, is one of them. There are many Alexanders. Yes. Soweto in Port Elizabeth, Khayelitsha in Cape Town.
Oh, Cape Town is worse.
Winterveld in Pretoria. And there's just a squalor in the south of Johannesburg. Mm. All of these ghettos need to be replaced.
But now there's informal settlements popping up every day. It grows and grows.
Absolutely, there has to be. People talk about community safety and say there must be law and order in this country.
Yeah, that's also the other thing.
There must be law and order. Those of us who come from a royal background carries a burden, you know, of understanding that human beings must be governed.
When human beings
are effectively governed and there's effective implementation of the rule of law.
The rule of law.
Mm. Human beings tend to behave in a particular linear process without taking humanity out of them, because human beings are thinking species, human beings must be governed. But if you allow lies as fair as we see it in our country today, there's not going to be law and order. And people are going to do as they wish. Mm. This squalor that you see in the south of Johannesburg, building shacks, foreigners, illegal immigrants occupying.
I mean, here, right here.
The pieces of land right that we're supposed to be building houses for people so as to meet the obligations and mandate of the Freedom Charter, our land is now being taken by illegal immigrants and our country cannot speak. Mm. Just this week, we see in the television screen
Libyans.
That there are foreigners that are training.
In a military camp.
Military camp in our country. And the intelligence services in this country
didn't even know about it.
My food. Somebody has to explain. Has to be held accountable by this. Mm. And I don't think we are vigorous enough. I don't think we are penetrating enough, you know, to demand answers from those that have elected to govern us. We've met us such as this one. Mm. Crime is out of control in this country.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
Now criminals have chosen the simplest path. Now they're shooting the police now. Yeah. Every day in KZN, there's
someone
a change of
died.
Fire.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Somebody has to intervene. And the commander-in-chief of the armed forces has to intervene and restore order in the country so that the, you know, foreign direct investment should be attracted.
Mm.
The local capital should have confidence to invest in the economy. And then, you know, build the economy so that you can create jobs for the youth. But with the kind of situation in our country, lawlessness that we are experiencing every day.
Mm.
No, something has to stop. You know, in my neighborhood where I'm running my family business, gunshots every evening, over the weekend.
Mm.
Sometimes it's not gunshots, it's rifles. Now, if you have carried an AK-47 once in your
never
life,
never in my life,
and you hear it roaring,
yeah.
And you hear that this is an AK that I once held in my hands.
Mm.
And this thing is lethal.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
And it's roaring.
Mm.
Few meters away from where I am. With impunity.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And no one seems to be, you know, feeling the urgency
of
intervening.
Calm. Yeah.
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 And we've got the army in this country.
We do.
That
one
should support
the
police.
World.
That should support the police to root out these illegal firearms in this residential.
Do you think
areas,
it's getting out of hand?
In the hostels. It's getting out of hand.
Do you think now it's come to a point whereby we can't stop this? It's out of hand. Do you think government has done that now?
No, it can't be stopped. It can be stopped.
Mm.
You know, you need the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the country, right? Because the commander-in-chief is a soldier.
Mm.
You can't command the army if you are not a soldier.
Yeah.
Even if you are not a trained soldier, once you assume the responsibility of commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the nation, you are a soldier.
Mm.
You are a soldier number one. You are the last line of defense.
Mm.
We cannot be hopeless only for the commander-in-chief.
Mm.
There has to be a restoration of law and order in this country. And we've got the defense force. It must support the police in real intelligence-driven operations. We are former freedom fighters, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm. We are former freedom fighters.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
We're able to defend our people against adversary, against the most fierce
risking
violence.
Your life.
We're able.
And there it wasn't rubber bullets.
We were able to get inside the hostels, right in the belly of people that were planning violence against our people. If Nelson Mandela was alive, he would tell you that the young boy in Krugersdorp gave me the most formidable intelligence information that stopped Cordesa 2, by the way. Tokyo, Swale can tell you about it. We gave them formidable intelligence, right? Because of the work that our unit of Mkhonto we're undertaking in areas where the violence was being muted against the communities to sabotage the 1994 democratic breakthrough. We come from that background. I was telling a local police commissioner in my area that, but these gunshots around our area are unacceptable. You know, we intervened at some point. In fact, at some point, the former commander of MK, Mkhonto Wesizwe, Nokis Botuma, from a large military camp in Angola, right? I don't know what his rank in South African National Defense Force was before he died.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they downgraded our commanders. This was a regional commander of Mkhonto Wesizwe, born and bred in Kagiso. Nokis Botuma, I complained to him that there are terrorists basically now standing on the way of us making progress in the community, and we put up a unit together. We commanded the South African Police Services in the Anyala on hunting the criminals. Right? It was MK units, right, commanding South African Police Services in their vehicles. We drove up to Carltonville.
Showing them what to do.
What to do. And we rooted those criminals completely. Those gangsters were taken out of the community. They were taken out. Okay. They were taken out of the community. And that's where it ends. Right. So I'm saying to you that it's possible.
Yes.
That the commander in chief of the armed forces in this country should take the people of South Africa to confidence and govern this country. Because you said the people shall govern. Not criminals. We don't say the criminals shall govern.
The people.
We said the people shall govern. These people that are stealing from the coffers of the people, state capture and all of these things, these things have to be resolved. This is what the people of South Africa are saying. We are not going to vote for you, ANC, unless you show us with action, decisive action on what your government is doing about, resolving the albatross around the shoulders of some South Africans that we hold high, in high esteem, who are suspected of having collaborated with the state capture. It is not even fair to those people, because now they've got a burden on their shoulders to free themselves out of the allegation from Zondo Commission that they were involved in state capture. They've got to go to court and clear their name.
And once if found guilty, arrested.
And that action has to be seen to be done. This national dialogue, among others, must actually make sure that those that are responsible for the implementation of investigations on allegations of state capture must do their job, and that must be held accountable. And the president must demand answers every second week on what this law enforcement agencies are actually doing to ensure that we stop corruption, we stop crime in this country.
But even
without us acting, my brother, there is not going to be any future for you and your child.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Okay. And we cannot lose hope in that context.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Moile, for your time.
Moilwa.
See, now I went back.
Moilwa.
Uhuru Moilwa.
Uhuru means freedom.
Yes. Uhuru means freedom. Yes, that I do. There's a song, by the way, called Uhuru.
No, you are a white generation. The song that I know is not yet Uhuru.
Not yet Uhuru.
By Letambuli.
Yes, by Letambuli.
This one, Waichukucha. It's a white generation.
Yeah, it's a white generation.
The X generation saying is not yet Uhuru. Ngobabantu basahlala emkhukhwini. People are still staying in shanty towns. We must liberate our people from poverty, from inequality, and from unemployment. We cannot wait any longer. This is a crisis that necessitates the national dialogue to be convened, and the ANC must be seen to be a leader of society in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're